was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, all. Let's pray. Lord God, this Easter morning, we give thanks that you have risen. We pray that we would know that in our hearts, that we would see it in your scriptures, and it would change us. We ask this in your mighty name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you. As we were walking through the fogs this morning, you might have thought that was a sort of unusual Easter morning. I had the privilege of being at the dawn service, and you wouldn't believe it. It was clear skies. Completely clear skies. I suppose that's the better way around. You don't want to go to a dawn service and not see a moment of dawn. But you wouldn't have guessed it by the time that you'd walked to church or drove this morning. When I was at university, I lived in a house of five guys, and one of them wasn't really a morning person. And he showed that with a pajama t-shirt that he had. And he was usually the last to wake up, and his bedroom was next to the kitchen. And so when most of us were already up, he would come in bleary-eyed with this t-shirt, pajama top, that had the sun rising. And it said, "I will rise, but I refuse to shine." And I was sort of reminded of that this morning. It feels like the sun has risen, but it is refusing to shine. But luckily, this Easter day, the truth is that Jesus has risen. And this morning we heard from Mark's Gospel. In the Bible, there are four accounts of the rising of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is probably the first. Mark is certainly the most raw. It's the sort of facts put down on the page, but they haven't really processed them, haven't really worked it out too much. And actually, if you open up your Bibles, you will have heard what is likely the original ending, the oldest ending. And interestingly, they've added little bits. There's a few verses they've called the shorter ending afterwards, and there's a few verses called the longer ending afterwards. But probably what you heard, with them leaving in fear and terror, is the original written down version that we have of the resurrection of Jesus. It's probably the most original and, in my opinion, the most curious. Question for you this morning: do you like surprises? It's intriguing because I don't. I'm rubbish with surprises. In my house, my wife loves surprises. She loves birthday surprises, all sorts of surprises. I'm useless with them. I don't like the uncertainty. I don't like not knowing what I might get for my birthday, what events, you know, a surprise party, that whole idea freaks me out, and I'm not great with surprises. And that's even good ones. After all, you know, not all surprises are good. And some people are good at adapting to surprises. They deal well with them. They maybe go into practical mode. Maybe they're able to think things through. Other people freeze up in them, don't they? You'll probably know of yourself how you personally deal with them. Thinking back to that passage that we heard from Mark's Gospel, the women came with spices to anoint Jesus' body. They brought their disappointment. They brought their grief. They brought their loss at his death and the fact that there was no longer any hope for them. They came early in the morning. They were avoiding the heat of the day, avoiding meeting too many people. Jesus had whipped up the emotions, and so they were avoiding in so many ways. But all alone, they worried that they wouldn't have the muscle to open, to move away the stone. So they were probably hoping that they would find someone that they could get to open it. The young ones will show us that stone later on, of the stone having already been rolled away. But far from being a joyous moment in that moment, who did it? Who stole them? Where have they put him? Just tell us, and then we will deal with the outcome. And they meet a man who we now know to be an angel who says this to them. You were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. He is not here. It goes on in such a curious way. It says, go off to Galilee and there you'll see him. They give them specific information. If you go there, then you will meet the risen Jesus. But how does our passage end? It says this, but they fled the place for fear and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. How is this meant to be the good news? How is this meant to be this amazing thing that has happened? And yet, I absolutely love it. All the four written accounts of Jesus in the Gospels have these sure and certain facts. That he died. That when they came to the tomb, they found it empty. And that they would meet the risen Jesus at a later point. And so Mark has just written down his first account, likely that original point at which we're working out what is the ramification of meeting the risen Jesus. And he ends it supposedly with, they left saying nothing. No wonder some people thought that maybe we should add a few verses. Maybe we should make it a bit more we should add a few more of the facts that we see in some of the other risen accounts. Have you ever written a book? Or not written a book, read a book? Some of you might have written a book, but far more of you have probably read a book than written one. Where you go, oh, I love that ending. And someone else has gone, I didn't get it. Or maybe vice versa. The ending really just ruined it for me. Whereas someone's like, oh no, it really gripped me. They didn't try and spoon-feed me. They didn't try and try and kind of tailor it and just make it all neat. Because you know the risen Jesus isn't all neat. But there is one fact that we can't deny. It's that the tomb was empty. That they would go off to Galilee and to meet Jesus. Because by this point, there were already letters saying, you can go and meet this person. This person has gone and seen the risen Jesus. So the fact that he was risen by this point was not in contestation. And spoiler alert, they did go on to meet the risen Jesus. But the thing is definite here today. What the angel says, he is risen. He is not here. Jesus is not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. And they struggle to get that round in their heads because they've turned up with grief. They've turned up with loss. And they've had it turned on its head and they're trying to work it out. And I love that is the honesty of how do you deal with those emotions. They didn't bother to try and neatly tie it up. They put in the raw emotions that were at play. Jesus is risen. He is not there. And what I love most about this way to end this gospel is it puts it back on us. As we look at the empty tomb, we are put with that same question that was put to those people who, as they looked into the tomb, he's not there. He is risen. And what are we going to do about that fact? After all, crucifixion was supposed to be the end of this movement, this wonder worker, this good teacher, but instead, it becomes the springboard. It becomes the beginning of what will be and has been over 2,000 years of history, of that truth that Jesus is alive, that he reigns with God eternally. And we've had time for it to settle in, probably too much time by now. We're over familiar with the facts. But the risen Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he goes on after his ascension to sit at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And so this Easter again, we stare in disbelief at the empty tomb because he is risen. He is not there. And we remember the impact that that has on our lives because it asks us such a great question. Jesus is no longer dead. Death has no victory over God. It has no victory over us. So today we celebrate. Today we rejoice. We've got these wonderful songs and hymns that we've been singing. And that is the natural response to the truths that we have today. We're about to sing again in a moment. And we're going to hear and we're going to sing. Rejoice that darkness has turned into light. Sadness turned into joy. And so we bring our praises to the King of Kings. Why don't we stand again and we're going to sing our next worship. And we're going to sing it with joy and with gusto because of the truth that he is risen. He is not in the tomb. Let's stand together.